Welcome to the Government Technology Insider podcast series. I'm your host, Matt Langan. Building smart cities, that is an urban area that uses IoT sensors to gather data and derive insights to operate more efficiently, is rapidly moving from trial concept to reality. And today we're exploring this topic further with Brandon Schopp, who is the Vice President of Product at SolarWinds, and Albert Shen, who is the Smart Community Southern Region and National Lead Smart Airports at Verizon. And Brandon and Albert, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. And let's jump right in. So as we head into 2021, what changes do you foresee in smart city technology? And what are some of the notable uses? And perhaps we'll start with Albert on that one.
Yeah. Thanks again for having here. Obviously, this 2020 year has been an unprecedented year for international disruption on many levels. It comes to transportation and education and just many other things in the course of our normal daily lives with the COVID pandemic. But the smart city realm and also our 5G deployment have been evolving very rapidly, especially with smart city technologies and my work on smart airports. Obviously, airports have faced a huge devastating and economic challenge because of the pandemic. So airports and airlines are pivoting. You know, they're looking at what kind of technologies they can use in terms of to make the traveling passenger more safe, their employees more safe. How can they use solutions to do their maintenance or maintenance forecasting or workforce forecasting, turn over aircraft more efficiently with the reduced aircraft, touchless-based systems, fever thermal detection, you know, social distancing monitoring. There are even technologies that see people wearing a mask or washing their hands. So a lot of these things are emerging onto the market in smart cities, especially at airports. But within cities too, you know, we have technologies around public safety, in terms of video surveillance, intelligent video, and also parking optimization. Some places are needing to use parking optimization or curbside management because of the increased traffic of curbside pickup and delivery because of the pandemic. So a lot of interesting things happened with IoT and smart city technologies. So it's looking forward to this conversation, but those are some really interesting things that have been happening just in the last 6 months.
Excellent. That's a great rundown, Albert. Thanks for that. Brandon, anything else to add to that one?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, thanks for having us as well. And I think, you know, some other notable uses that we've seen, you know, here in working with customers at SolarWinds is, you know, really about how do you do more with less? You know, folks are working under constrained budgets, especially right now, you know, as Albert was talking about during this year of 2020 and the pandemic, you know, folks are looking, how can we do with more with less? How do I reduce human interaction, you know, and sending people out in the field? And, you know, we've worked with some various vendors throughout the industry on the smart city side around things like there are, you know, for, you know, I think as Albert touched on kind of video surveillance, you know, specifically the example we used was at stoplight cameras and things along those lines. But also if you think about, you know, I know here where I live at, you know, instead of sending a technician out to come read your electricity meter, that they install a new sensor into there where it is automatically transmitted back, you know, to central location for billing. And so that way, again, they're able to do more with less. They don't have to roll a truck out every month in which to go read people's meters to determine their electricity bill. And so they're able to start to gain more efficiencies in their business as well with leveraging newer smart city technologies.
Right. Perfect segue too into my next question, because really these IoT sensors that run these smart cities create massive amounts of data. And my question is really, how is that information handled and how can government improve these processes? And perhaps we'll go to Brandon first on that one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, smart cities is, I mean, there was already a growth and explosion in the amount of data that is being generated within an IT infrastructure, and smart cities just is another layer on top of that. And so, you know, one, you've got to have the infrastructure, you know, in which to handle that. And, you know, with, you know, kind of as Albert touched on, you know, 5G, you're starting to see that become much more commonplace in some environments and organizations. And a lot of that is to, you know, support a lot of more of these smart city optimizations, as well as other initiatives that these cities and organizations have going on. You know, the other big thing here, you know, as you think about the volume of data that, you know, a lot of government organizations need to think about is really when it comes to the element of security. You know, you're adding more elements into your infrastructure And so you need to make sure that, you know, again, you're structuring it right. So that way there's kind of segmentation, but also to make sure that you've got processes in place for auditing and understanding what is out there, you know, from an asset perspective, but also making sure that, you know, things are up to date and secure as new vulnerabilities are found in some of these IoT sensors, making sure that they're getting patched. So again, these are just a couple examples, but a lot of it really boils down to there's going to be, like you said, an explosion or continued explosion in the amount of data, and making sure that, one, you've got the appropriate systems from a monitoring and a management perspective that give you the visibility, not just into your traditional IT infrastructure, but also into these IT sensors. So you don't have to go and procure multiple different technologies in which to manage your overall infrastructure.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Brandon. Albert, anything to add to that one?
Yeah, no, it's an incredibly important topic when it comes to the data and especially privacy. We get that question a lot, especially with our smart community solutions, whether it's parking. We have a public safety system called real-time response system and intelligent lighting. So yeah, a lot of cities or customers are going to ask, what is becomes of that data? And that data belongs to the customer or belongs to the, you know, to the city that's procuring the system. So Verizon doesn't touch that data. So it's important that when a city has our solutions, that they are generating data, that is their data to use, that is their data to have secure, and then how they handle it is up to them. So that's really how, you know, our position on industry is, especially when we develop these things. But there are challenges, obviously, in this space of everything's more mobile nowadays. Everything, we're all dependent on our mobile device. That's how we communicate with everybody we know and we relate to. So privacy is something that's always going to go hand in hand in terms of, as you know, things become more connected, even more so than ever. I mean, even before before the pandemic at the Consumer Electronics Show, every device you see now is connected somehow. Like, I mean, even a smart toilet, right? So you think about all the interesting elements of data with all these devices that are being connected, how we handle that. And, you know, privacy data is, you know, governmentally driven to, in terms of how that's all going to be handled. So it's an evolving issue. It's an evolving policy that's going to continue to be part of the growth of IoT sensors and data and smart city technologies. So, but I think it's forums like this in which we can, you know, bring out those issues and, you know, bring out solutions and, you know, formulate good policy when it comes to data utilization and keeping it private.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, much like the data is spreading quickly and different uses of the innovation, just smart city technology itself is continuing to spread at a rapid pace, even in the face of the pandemic. So, like, with that in mind, what must IT decision makers focus on, both from implementation and usage? And perhaps we'll go with Albert first on that one.
Yeah, like I said, it's a very complex, and, you know, every government, state, local, or federal all have various different processes on how they handle that. So, but I think it's, like I said, it's continuing to evolve. And as technologies become even more integrated into our daily lives, you know, these processes in terms of, you know, have to be laid out clearly for industry to know what to adhere to, the innovators, and when it comes to the design of these technologies on how data can best be preserved and kept private. You know, we are in the healthcare space now. We acquired a company called BlueJeans, as far as a, you know, video conferencing system, like, you know, like Google and, you know, Microsoft Meets and all these different platforms. But we're going to use that for telehealth. And, you know, it is HIPAA compliant. So it's important that, you know, the preservation of this information is protected. And the processes, I think, is just going to be an evolving process by itself in terms of how we can work with government to ensure that their processes are, you know, make more efficient for us to deploy these technologies.
Excellent. Thanks, Albert. Brandon, anything to add to that one?
Yeah, and I think we've hit on a lot of these points already. And I definitely want to kind of double down on the point that Albert made, you know, around, you know, I brought up security, but also, you know, Albert brought up the privacy angle. And it's not just a U.S. thing. Also, as kind of Albert touched on, every state, municipality may have different laws and rules about handling data. You know, same thing from a country perspective. You know, we saw this back with, you know, GDPR, back when that rolled out over in Europe, and giving people more control over their data and their information and who can access it and who can see it and those types of things. And so, you know, as an IT decision maker, I'm going to have to look and make sure that I've got the appropriate controls in place around, again, who can access, who has visibility into that data, how long do we store that data, you know, what are the processes and mechanisms in which if somebody asks us to purge that data, that we have to go through. So there are definitely a lot of, you know, not just technological things that to take into account and consider, but also process related items that are specific, you know, that are going to change from region to region or country to country or state to state around just what you do with that data. And then going back to the security, I mean, I talk about this, you know, especially with the pandemic going on, the perimeter has effectively changed. It's now gone. And we're kind of in a perimeterless environment in a lot of cases when it comes to security. And so it's not, you know, unlike the days of olden where everybody was in an office and you had a DMZ and a firewall to where you were able to kind of segment the outside world from your corporate IT environment or your government environment. Now with people working from home, but also with these sensors that are all over the place within cities, it really makes the challenge of securing your environment and securing your users a much larger challenge that you need to, again, make sure you have the appropriate tooling as well as processes in place in which to do it. Because let's be honest, you know, with a lot of these governments deploying these smart city technologies, in a lot of cases, they're not getting more people in which to do it. They're not necessarily getting more budget. They're being told, figure out, you know, essentially how to do more with less. How do you manage this with the existing personnel and existing tooling you have in place today? And so folks are having to really be creative, make sure that they can leverage processes as well as tools that already exist within their environment.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate the time that you both shared today and a lot of great insights. We covered a lot. And our last question is really the crystal ball question. And how do you see this technology being used 5 years from now? And of course, 5 years is like a lifetime when it comes to technology and innovation. So this one might be a challenge, but I'll throw it out as the final question and we'll go with Brandon on that.
Yeah, like you said, that's always kind of the bit of the crystal ball. And it's, we'll kind of see, you know, obviously with the pandemic that we're in right now, that is definitely, you know, kind of, you know, shaking things up a bit. And so people are reevaluating their priorities and kind of their organizational or the government roadmap from an IT perspective. And I think that will continue. You know, I think our dependence upon IoT is only going to continue to grow. You know, folks have really gotten used to kind of from a consumer or user perspective, that convenience, but also from an organizational perspective, you know, they're also relying upon it for more operational efficiency and more automation. And again, kind of going back to doing more with less and being more efficient, you know, with the technologies and the people that you have in place. And so I only see really IoT and smart city technology continuing to grow as we move forward. You know, I kind of joke, you know, my daughter, she's 9 years old and, you know, she's grown up in the age of, you know, Alexa and Amazon packaging and 24-hour delivery. And for her, she orders and she expects it, you know, right then. Whereas, you know, when I grew up, it was, I would wait a week, 2 weeks. We didn't have a lot of these conveniences. And so I think we'll only see those continue to expand out just within our personal lives, as well as within, you know, our professional lives as we, you know, as our organizations continue to look for those kind of operational efficiencies.
Yeah, great insights there. Albert, any crystal ball predictions from your side?
Oh, yeah. This is the fun part. I know. So, I mean, things are just evolving so quickly, whether there's a pandemic or not. I recall the days when I served in the Obama administration when we launched the U.S. Smart Cities Initiative. I mean, the interest and hunger for innovation, you know, from cities across the country just thrown at the government in terms of to gain federal dollars to help them innovate, you know, the cities and so many different levels. And we saw just so many different aspects of how smart technologies could be used to help education, to help social services, to help transportation, help public safety. So we're really at the cutting edge. And who would have thought, you know, right, this day and age, you know, and how far we've come along in regard to mobile technology, smart city technology. I was just talking to a friend who's quarantined in China. She was here in the U.S. visiting family, had to go back. And the amount of technology Asia is using, because in Asia, they're used to a lot of these public health, you know, pandemics over there. So they're a little bit more mature, I think, in regard to if you're going to move from one city to another, you're tracked by a QR code. And in order to enter, you have to scan a QR code and you have to be tested. So, you know, when it comes to pandemic management, you know, I think that is going to be an evolving part of how smart city technologies is going to ensure that, you know, we can travel safely. You think after 9/11, there's an immediate response to explosive detection technology, you know, and that how that's instituted itself and how we travel now. You take your shoes off, take your liquids out, all that really emerged really overnight because of an international disruption in aviation travel. So the same thing is happening now. And I think industry like us is evolving very rapidly in terms of what's going to happen next. And so I don't know, it's definitely an open book, but I think cities right now are doing everything they can. But I think one thing we have to look out for is ensure the underserved communities in the United States, the rural communities who don't have that accessibility to technology, have that accessibility to, you know, 5G, which is being deployed around the country, that they don't get left behind. And that's been a lot of the national dialogue too as well. So as we move forward as a country and as, you know, as a planet in terms of how things are more connected, there are those communities that aren't going to be equalized, and we have to ensure that. And there are technologies that can help that too as well. So moving forward, I think it's going to be fascinating. Education space, teachers, AR, VR, you know, drone technology, these things are just going to continue to grow and enhance and be dependent on, especially connectivity networks, like what we're doing at Verizon and as well. So yeah, so get ready. It's going to be a crazy ride. And the Gen Z generation is going to be leading a lot of that innovation. So it is definitely going to be an exciting time to lead us forward into the latter half of the century.
Excellent. And this concludes this Government Technology Insider podcast interview, where we spoke with Brandon Schopp, who's the Vice President of Product at SolarWinds, and Albert Shen, who is the Smart Community Southern Region and National Lead Smart Airports at Verizon, about how smart city innovations are starting to become a reality and what the future holds when it comes to smart city technologies and much, much more. And Brandon and Albert, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Great to be here. Agreed. Thank you very much for having us.